Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take you over my blue suede shoe.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app on a hump day Wednesday. It is Elvis Presley's 85th birthday. Well, if he were still alive. Elvis Presley, not overrated. Solid. Through and through.
No, he's not overrated.
No, he's not overrated.
I know, right. But it was our promo's running about our conversation with Beatles versus Elvis, and you asked me if Elvis is overrated. I said, no, Elvis is not overrated. Elvis is the real deal.
I took that promo out today.
Yeah, and so are the Beatles. Even though you don't like them, you still can't say they're overrated.
They're overrated.
It's obscene.
Mariah Carey has as many number one hits as they do. What does that tell you about them?
Are you out of your mind?
Mariah Carey overrated?
How am I over? Are you going to put her on the same plane as the Beatles? I'm just curious.
I mean, where do you put her?
You're going to put Mariah Carey and the Beatles in the same
sentence? I'm not saying.
I hate to kill you all with facts, but she has as many number one songs as they do.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just laying it out there for you to ponder. I don't think a lot of people realize that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll bring the Beatles down a peg, won't it?
No.
They're only as good as Mariah Carey. Look, Mariah Carey's very good, but she's not, you know.
Robert Horry has more championships than LeBron James. Is he a better basketball player?
Trent Dilfer has more Super Bowls than Dan Marino.
It's an absurd conversation to be had.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't want to throw facts at you.
I just dropped all my knowledge on you. Big 12 guy, Beatles overrated. I mean, here they come.
Stop it. All the people that agree with me.
Not doing this.
We're not doing it again. We've done it twice.
All right, time now for our first Sports Center rundown.
Is this all time late?
This is 64 minutes late. Here's Chris.
Nice to hear that music today. Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm announced he's going to forego his senior season at Georgia and will enter the NFL draft. That is good news for Gator fans. Tom Brady might have given some insight into his future today, taking to Instagram, and the final line of his post says, "I know I still have more to prove." San Diego State coach Ricky Long is stepping down after 9 seasons in charge. Once again, San Diego State will be head coached by Brady Hoke.
Again.
I said once again.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. That's where you end up once again. All right. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Field Yates will join us. We'll talk some NFL with him. And then at 4 o'clock, Mike McCarthy will speak as the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys officially. And that means probably Jerry Jones, too. I should announce it as a Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy press conference, not just Mike McCarthy.
Any chance Jerry doesn't show up?
I would say
zero. Or doesn't give a speech?
I would say 0% chance.
I think it's more likely Mike McCarthy doesn't speak than Jerry not show up.
Now, you guys saw this. There was the story that was out there. I saw it on a crawl yesterday, looked into it a little more. There's a report that had the Dallas Cowboys, i.e. Jerry Jones, had not been overwhelmed by Mike McCarthy in the Mike McCarthy interview. There is a good chance that Jason Garrett mm-hmm. would have gotten a contract extension and remained the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
It is unbelievable.
What
isn't
do you
it?
Think about
I
this?
I saw that last night scroll. I couldn't believe it. Actually, I could believe it. It's so Jerry. It is so him.
How do you sell that to your fan base? Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. You probably go on Dallas 105.3 or whatever his weekly. Whatever his talk show is over there.
Yeah, 105.3 The Fan.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to announce that after some consideration and deliberation.
There's a 104.3.
No, 105.
It's 105.3.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett is coming back as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You can't give him a 2-year deal or 3-year. It's another 4-year deal.
There's a part of me that wishes that would have happened.
Absolutely.
How much would it have been for?
I don't know.
60 mil?
Oh,
I was going to go the other way.
No.
He gets 40. To keep his job.
Takes a pay cut.
Six figures. It's funny that we scoff at that. 900,000. No way.
That's Lane Kiffin money at FAU. Wow.
It's so interesting. And again, the longer this thing lingers, and as we said before the break, Patricia Traynor covers the Giants for SI and says, Am I the only one who's slightly concerned that it's been 24 hours since Judge was reported as the Giants' new head coach and still no word from the Giants making it official as of noon Eastern time? Now it's 3 o'clock Eastern time and still no.
So as of right now, we just have Adam Schefter reporting from yesterday or whoever it was that he was named the new head coach?
Yeah.
There's been nothing out of their office?
Nothing.
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 All nothing.
Right. All right.
Nothing.
Still rumors about Jason Garrett, too, being the OC there. Maybe he's going to be the head coach there. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy stuff.
Yep. And I'm just going back and more of my
McCarthy. Can I go back to Dallas for just for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
So does that mean, if that was the case, does that mean while the 3 days of meetings were going on after the season, was that Jason Garrett trying to talk Jerry into keeping him? Was that what that was all about? I mean, that was the longest firing in the history of sports.
Wasn't a firing.
Well, it wasn't. And he still, they still have to ask permission.
In fact, he's still under contract for another week, to be honest.
15th.
Yeah.
They still have to ask permission for the Cowboys to speak to Garrett, anybody who wants to hire him, because he's, like you said, he's still in the contract till the 15th.
So they have two head coaches right now.
Technically, yes.
Sounds Has Jason right. Garrett not cleaned out his office yet?
I don't know.
Like, does Mike go in the same day that Jason leaves?
I don't know how that works.
Maybe Jason will be up there at the podium today.
I've wondered how that works. Okay, usually there's a gap. A coach cleans out his office after the Black Monday.
Right.
And then you get your new head coach a couple of... I always wondered how that works in the White House, too. Inauguration Day. The president's family, they wake up in the White House in the morning, and then by the afternoon, there's a new president. Mm. How do they work all that furniture out? How does that happen? Living out of boxes... Same kind of deal.
In the White House?
Yeah, I'm just always wondered. How does that transition take place?
What do you think? They change beds?
I don't know.
Maybe mattresses, I'm sure, but I don't think the bedrooms change per se, do they?
Like, did the Obamas take their bedroom furniture suite out of there
and then Trump brings in his own?
Probably. And they got to do it while the inauguration is going on.
They get to decorate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that done on day one, or is it like a month-long process?
Well, Jackie Kennedy Onassis was the first one to really, really do over the White House, which was unheard of before. That was like you didn't touch anything. I don't know how that applies to beds, though. But
Nancy Reagan redid all the China, yeah,
and Michelle Obama did it. All the first ladies, I think, since Jackie did it, everybody in their own way. Some things.
And speaking of, because we're a worldly show, Meghan Markle... Harry?
Yeah, Harry.
Harry.
Prince Harry.
Prince Harry.
The second one.
They're like leaving the royal family?
Yeah.
Or taking a step back to focus on their own
family.
Careers and financial independence.
That's the tricky part. Financial independence. Does that mean they give up the stipends?
They're flipping prince.
I don't think they have anything to worry about the rest of their lives.
Well, I don't either, but you should have just stuck with it. Like, Meghan Markle's already not liked over there.
Apparently, it's just been miserable for them. And the brothers are expatting.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for a prince. I don't.
What about the prince of Coming to America? By the way, when's that sequel coming out?
Never saw it.
It's coming out.
You really didn't see it? No, I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, you'd love it.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I've seen scenes of it. Yeah, the premise of it's very funny.
It's very good. It's very good. Did you start watching You yet?
No.
You got to do it.
No, man. I was going to go home and...
I did watch Jeopardy last night.
Well, I watched
Jeopardy and stuff, and then I found out that, you know, Iran is shooting missiles at us.
I got a theory about that.
I was dialed into all that.
Depends on what report you read.
I got a theory about that missile, those missiles.
Yeah.
Missiles, rockets. I don't know what you want
to... I think they had to show... save face among their own people. I think they had to launch a little something. They said they slapped America's face. Mm-hmm. I think Trump, we all knew it was coming.
Yep.
We got our people out of the way. I think it was like a wink, wink, nod, nod, as Pete Shepard likes to say. Mm-hmm. All right, you shoot your little rockets here. They don't do any damage. You look like you did something with your people. You didn't kill any of our people. We're not going to escalate into World War III. I think that's where we're at today.
I hope you're right.
Nailed it.
You're right.
I'm often right.
Right.
And so,
you weren't last night, but that's okay. If you bought 13 points, you would have been right.
I only bought 2.5, and I won.
So what is that, minus 150?
I don't remember.
I have a 16 teaser tonight.
Nice. All basketball, too.
All basketball, college and pro.
16.
Pays back over.
How hard it is to hit on a six-teamer?
No, teaser, not a parlay. Teaser.
Okay. That's easy.
It is a nice NBA night ahead of us.
It's not easy, but
it's a nice NBA night ahead of us.
Maybe, depending on who plays.
We got nine games.
Well, I guess you could always say that, huh?
Well, I mean, like, no, I mean, like, Jimmy Butler is going to be a game time decision. That kind
of
thing.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. And Winslow is game time decision, too.
Guys, the Heat have been doing all this without Justice Winslow.
I know.
How crazy is that?
And I hope both are back tonight. But
Miami Indy is a good game.
I have, shall I say, interest in six of the nine games.
Might be the only
tonight.
Good game tonight. Oh, Denver Dallas, 7:30 on ESPN. It's a good game. And then Milwaukee
Golden State on ESPN late tonight.
It should have been awesome.
Yeah, should have been. Should have been awesome, but too bad it's not.
Well, depends. Cover the 13.
All right, 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the number. So you were talking about TV. So last night I went home and I watched the what's it called, the Super Jeopardy with all the three winningest Jeopardy people of all time. Yes. Oh, yeah, I got to tell you, Alex Trebek looked pretty good. I know he's battling cancer. I know he's got a wig and he's heavily made up and all that, but yeah, it was he looked good.
That was very well done.
I feel so dumb watching that show. I only got like five questions right.
No, you had to get more than that. I got about a quarter of them right today. I've been on a roll, a couple categories, on a pretty good roll. I got almost all the Shakespeare stuff right. The SAT category, I got everyone right except for one. There are a couple of doozies, though. The czars, I forget it. I kept saying Peter the Great for every answer, and that wasn't even the $200 question.
I like it how these guys, you look at their face, they have no clear, they have no clue, they have to sit there and think about it for a moment, and then finally Alex goes, all right, we need an answer. It's kind of like you on Wikipedia, and boom, they come up with this answer out of nowhere, and they get it right. It's unbelievable.
And you're getting a couple, this is like the referee not blowing the clock dead for delay a game. They're getting a couple extra seconds this round. But I love, what's his name, the gambling guy I love, he turned around, one time he chimed in, he goes, ah, beat you.
Yeah. What was that all about? I saw that. Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah. But they're having fun. Those guys, they're all three of them. They didn't miss it in the first round, in the first half hour. They didn't miss one question. Not one question. They got every single one right.
Helps keep the show pithy.
Yeah. No, it's excellent. I taped it. Watch it this morning. Watch it.
So it's an hour instead of a half hour.
Well, it's two shows. You combine the two scores.
Yeah, it's on ABC.
Yeah.
Who was right?
I was right.
No. You had ABC.
We were both right.
The NBC,
they still have the NBC one on.
The one was on at 7:30 on NBC.
Which is also...
That's exactly... So that makes me right. Because when you two were fighting yesterday, I said, look, is it possible that the old syndicated reruns are on the old network and now this
I
new
was
special
right. I said both
is on
of
a new
it.
Network? I think I got it right
ultimately. No, I said it immediately. I said that the old shows are on NBC at 7:30 and the new one is on ABC.
That's what I said.
You're unbelievable. You know that? You are unbelievable. Craig or Pete and I get in an argument and somehow you say, you're right out of all this?
It wasn't.
No, absolutely not. I refuse to give that to you.
I got the Xfinity app. I looked it up. I do their commercials. They're not doing me wrong. I love Xfinity.
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know. I just...
Chris Mayman, he taped. He saw 7:30. He programmed Jeopardy in. This is an honest mistake. And
honest
the 7:30 one came up.
Chris is going to have 10,000 episodes of Jeopardy clogging up his memory.
No.
Because it's going to record forever.
I didn't watch last night, although I heard Ken Jennings and Householder.
Yeah.
That those two really separated themselves from
the other guy.
Reuter. Brad Router.
And he's the one I got.
He's the one you got. Yeah, Pete's got Householder.
I got the gambling guy, yeah.
And I got Ken Jennings.
Yeah. They're all still in it. They're all phenomenal.
They're incredible. I mean, I couldn't sit there under pressure on live TV with a clock going and come up with half of that stuff. No way.
Oh, I was sent today the 11 most difficult golf questions ever asked on Jeopardy.
Oh, really?
You should quit. We should do a Craig and Pete Jeopardy with those questions. I have not seen them.
I haven't either.
It's the 11 toughest.
We should do that tomorrow. Can you, like, Google them and pull them off?
I mean, I got them on my phone.
You got them right now?
I can do it right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
We need Jeopardy. Sound effects, music.
Yeah.
We need to do it right.
Give the Jeopardy music in 2 seconds.
5:30.
Okay.
All right.
5:30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
Perfect.
All right.
Oh yeah, hates Top Gun. It reminds me of an old ESPN show, Stump the Schwab.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Loved that show.
Yeah, some of those guys were
unbelievable.
Unreal.
The recall that they had.
Mm. Yep.
Like on stupid things as well.
Yeah.
Like why would you dedicate the time to remember that? Those sorts of stats.
They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
And Schwab's now with CBS or Fox. He's not with ESPN anymore.
I forget. Dan Patrick was doing a show, too, a trivia-type show as well at one point. That was pretty good, very similar to that.
Oh, and so- then they had the reality show on how to become a SportsCenter anchor. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They do two seasons of that or just one?
Well, yeah,
one?
They hired somebody.
They hired a guy.
Did they?
Hired a person, yeah.
What was that show called?
I can't remember, but I remember it. I remember the show.
They had that. ESPN had that NFL or that football show.
Yeah.
What was it called? Game Changer? Not Game Changers. Where it showed all the dudes doing steroids and stuff, and the NFL made them cancel it.
Oh, yeah.
I
vaguely remember that, too.
Man.
Wow.
What a great programming gone for ESPN.
Speaking of TV shows, I don't watch it often, but I am kind of a fan of Undercover Boss. I think it's a good show. It's a good premise. I don't watch it a lot. But apparently, Drew Brees is going to be Undercover Boss. I presume they've already taped it.
What's he a boss of?
Well, he owns a bunch of restaurants.
He owns Jimmy John's.
Walk On Bistro and Bar.
Oh, okay.
They're in like six states or something. He's going to do one in New Orleans, and his partner is also going to do it. They're going to do it together. They're going to dress up. He's got long hair and a beard. And he says, I look like Matthew McConaughey all of a sudden, which he didn't, but I'll give it to him. And he's going to roam in there behind the scenes and do some work in the restaurant. They got restaurants, 33 locations in Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, and North Carolina.
Huh. Tiz texting in Stony Brook Golf Club text line. For some reason, I imagine Rick Church looking like the Schwab. You know what, Tiz? Kind of close.
Really? Thick beard?
Yeah, good beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a great beard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool.
He must not know what to do with himself coming up this weekend. The Vikings playing again at San Francisco.
Yeah. Who, Rick or Drew Brees?
Rick.
Rick's, Drew Brees got
Drew's got free time,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's free for the next few months.
Yeah.
Free agent as well. And Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a free agent.
I thought Drew had one more year.
He does have one more year.
Yeah. Oh, he does? Yeah. I thought we came to an agreement that he was a free agent.
Year. That would be unfact.
The
Well, Tom Brady's a free agent.
Yes, he is.
He just said that.
And he said he's got more to prove, which I don't know what that means. He wrote this big sob thing on Instagram. Thank you to all the people. We do the great teamwork, fans, the stadium people.
It's very
us.
Heartfelt, heartwarming.
Ah, I thought it was fake.
Oh, stop it.
That was too mushy. And he closed it up by saying, I got
more. You're not sensitive to anything. Mm-hmm. You don't, nothing. I'm trying to think what the, I don't know. You didn't cry when old Yeller died.
I know when Craig will cry. The next thing that will make Craig cry, sports related, obviously.
What?
When Robert Montgomery Knight returns to Assembly Hall, you will shed a tear. It'll bring you back to those days when Indiana basketball was important and playing meaningful games into late March, early April. Mm-hmm. You'll shed a tear. Fact.
I might, when the band starts playing the old fights, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Huh. There's rumor that may happen here soon against Bob Knight's alma mater, Ohio State. That game in Assembly Hall, it's not this weekend. I don't. Anyway, it could be happening. He bought a house 3 miles away from Assembly Hall. So speaking of basketball, that's going to be our topic for Wikipedia, college basketball, because nobody's been paying attention to it yet, except for Tar Heel fans. Roy Williams went scorched earth on his own team on his own radio show last night.
My goodness.
Chapel Hill.
That was Monday night.
Well, that's what happens when you go 0-15 against Georgia Tech.
From three?
No, for their first 15 shots they missed in the game the other night.
Look, this team has a tough time making
Duke's
shots.
Playing them tonight, Georgia Tech.
I'm actually really happy that there's the ACC network, because most of the time I'm like, okay, great. I don't even have to watch the Tar Heels tonight.
They got Pittsburgh tonight.
They don't even need to be on. Is that tonight?
Yeah, they're in Chapel Hill. That's an interesting game. Isn't it? Or is it in Pittsburgh?
No, it's in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, that's
ACC
interesting game.
Network. Don't have to watch it.
Yep.
I can watch the Heat and Pacers.
You were clamoring to watch all North Carolina games at the beginning of the season.
I'm
and
so
now
excited.
You've gone 180. You're like, I don't even want to watch them anymore. They're so bad.
Hold on.
You're a front runner.
No, top two. I said I don't want to watch them. Did I say I don't watch them? What did I say? What did I say? Right. And look, the top two freshmen are out right now. Cole Anthony and Backot.
When are they coming back?
Don't know.
Anthony should be coming back by the end of the month.
Or are they going straight to the NBA now?
See, that's where I'm at. Like, if you're Cole Anthony,
no.
why are you coming back?
Yeah.
Why are you coming back? Like, James Wiseman isn't in front of anybody taking away, you know, the spotlight.
Right.
There are no freshmen that are really killing it out there. And they're good freshmen. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Duke fans, Kentucky fans, Kansas fans. Kansas have any freshmen this year? I'm sure they got one or two.
I don't know.
Yeah. 6 foot three says, I'm 26 years old and I will cry when Bob Knight returns to Assembly Hall. Yeah.
I watched my beloved Friars last night squeak out a one-point win at Marquette. They are 3-0 atop the Big East.
Wow.
Baby, 10-6 so far.
Well, Butler's actually having a really good year this
year
as well.
Butler's 6th in the country, and Providence hosts them tomorrow, Friday night.
Big-time matchup, undefeated.
That'll be on FS1.
Or undefeated in the Big Ten, or
Big East.
Yeah.
Big grief.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
That's enough college basketball. All
right, let me get the Ogeron stuff. This is funny.
Well, it's time for Field. We got Field.
Oh, what time is it? Oh, 3:22. Wow.
All
right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to Field.
You got Ed Ogeron stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Field Yates next. You know, let's pencil in Ed Ogeron there at 3:45 after Field. We'll
all right, sounds good.
And Mike McCarthy's press conference.
No juice tweet?
I don't know if we have a new juice OJ tweet today or not. We shall effort that as we motor on a hump day Wednesday. Keep in mind, the NFL divisional round is this weekend. Action starts Saturday at 4 at 99.3 ESPN with a doubleheader. And at 2:30 on Sunday with the final two games, the NFL playoffs on 99.3 ESPN, brought to you by Twin Peaks.
We do have an OJ.
Brand new?
I was there when it started. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's what
he's
it says.
Saying
he's outside. It looks like at the club again. He has golf carts there. He's outside. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you meant like the dance club. You meant the golf club.
Golf club.
Got it.
Country Club.
All right, so we got juice around the corner, too. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Celebrating Elvis Presley's 85th birthday today. Also celebrating football. Field Yates from ESPN joins us, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website, betterplantoday.com, for a free consultation. Field, how are you, sir?
Field with better hair than Elvis, by the way.
Close.
Is that right? Wow, I'll take it. But I'm doing great. How are you gentlemen today?
Fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic. Who the hell's Joe Judge?
Well, I tried to explain him, but the bigger question is, why hasn't it been made official yet?
Yeah, that part's sort of interesting. I can imagine that this is a matter of dotting I's and crossing T's. On the contract, but it is sort of interesting that we're now, 36 hours since the first report came out, or maybe a little bit less than that, and typically these things are announced in a shorter period of time following the initial reporting of them. But who he is he's not just the Giants' new head coach, but somebody that's actually had a pretty strong reputation within the coaching community prior to this hire. It's hard to get an interview with a special teams coach because it's hard for us to point to teams that are super successful on special teams. A lot of times we think of great individual special teams players, whether it's a Justin Tucker as a kicker or Matthew Slater as a core special teams coverage guy. But they do work with a ton of the roster. Joe Judge, 38 years old, has been in this for a long time, even for a guy at that age. And, you know, the interview process is really important in all sectors of life. And if he went in there and wowed the various Giants officials, then I'm not surprised they went with their gut there and hired Joe Judge.
Talking with Field Yates here with Sheba DeShepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Coming up after our conversation with you, we're going to listen to Mike McCarthy. He's about to have his press conference with the Dallas Cowboys. I am extremely intrigued by the story that was out there yesterday that had they not been overwhelmed by Mike McCarthy and his interview, as you say, how important these interviews are, that they may have turned back to Jason Garrett. Do you think that's true?
Wow, I didn't even see that story. I missed it entirely. But I don't have any reason to necessarily doubt it. I mean, it was a very peculiar, to say the least, situation surrounding Jason Garrett, right? I mean, it took him a week to officially announce that he was not being retained as the head coach. And I get it. It's a little bit different when you've got a guy that's been a part of the family, so to speak, for 20 years. But I mean, the Bengals fired Marvin Lewis, who brought them to legitimacy, who brought them back from the doldrums. They just said, goodbye, talk to you later, right? Like, that's it. It wasn't a drawn-out process. And I understand that some would say, hey, well, you know, there's a different dynamic. All right, well, Marvin Lewis brought the Bengals to the playoffs 6 times in 7 years. Like, don't tell me he wasn't a huge part of their fabric. So it was bizarre. I would not have been surprised if that actually came to life, if they weren't totally enamored with Mike McCarthy. But it sounds like McCarthy is a bit of a reformed man after a year away from football and ready to take on what I believe, guys, is easily the best head coaching gig that was available this offseason. Hmm.
No, I agree. Now let's turn to Josh McDaniels. And I know the Patriots wanted to hang him. They hung around for some, you know, end of the year work and all that stuff. And it was still there yesterday. Is that going to cost him a head coaching job here, Field, in your opinion?
I don't know. I don't know, guys. I can't say that with 100% truth, Pete, because, first of all, he could get the Browns job. Also, doesn't it sound like that, you know, I think if the Giants and Panthers were as sold on these men as they were, that they ended up hiring with their head coach based off of the interview, then it makes you think that, you know, I suppose the dynamic is introduced that Josh had the chance to interview on Monday before Rule or Judge, and he totally knocked the socks off, but I don't know for sure. I think, you know, if you have a gut instinct on a candidate being somebody you really want to speak with, no matter how great it goes elsewhere, you're still going to do your responsibility of following through with some of the interviews with people that you intended to speak with.
Well, and connecting Josh McDaniels once again with what's happening with the Giants, is it possible we have another cult situation here with the Giants and Josh McDaniels? Maybe they don't have a lot. Maybe they've, with Judge, they've, with this delay, I mean, as you just talked about, is it possible Josh McDaniels could sneak in there?
So. No, I would be, you know, I guess I should say never with anything as it relates to coaching cycles, because we've seen it all, but I don't think so. I think this really is a pretty small procedural issue, not even an issue, just a procedural process that Joe Judge is going through with his agents and with the Giants organization. I really do suspect that something gets done in the next, I don't know, short period of time. If they get an announcement out tomorrow, it wouldn't surprise me if they had a press conference on Friday. So we'll see for sure, but I don't have any major doubts about Joe Judge becoming the Giants head coach.
And my last thing about Josh is with Cleveland, if he does get the job, and I know they want to hire the coach before the GM, is it possible Josh gets to be the coach and the GM, you think?
I don't think he'll be the coach and the GM in title. I think he'll have some influence over the roster, Pete, but I think that's one of the most overrated things that we discussed during this process is who has control of the roster, who has final say on the 53-man roster. Like, guys, it doesn't matter if you're not seeing it the same way, right? I mean, if you're seeing it the same way, then you're going to find players you agree on or disagree on and have healthy conversations. Now, it's one thing when you're making the number one overall pick in the draft and there are two legitimate players that you could debate and you guys see something philosophically different. In that case, yes, the authority becomes a real priority. But that's very infrequent. That's like a once every decade type decision for a team. So I think that what's more important is that whoever you are building the roster with as the GM, that person sees things the same way that you do.
Talking with Field Yates. Field, I'm going to go back to a comment you talked about regarding Mike McCarthy, how he seems to be a reformed man. I guess he, as a coach anyway, apparently he sat in a barn for a year and just crunched stats. He's a sabermetrics guy, stats guy. Let's face it, one of the criticisms of him before he left Green Bay was maybe that his style of offense was getting a little stale. He seems to have changed that. What do you think we will see? Or can you talk about tangibly what we might see out of Mike McCarthy that may look different now?
Yeah, that's a great question, Craig, because sometimes, like when I said reformed, I almost wish I had included air quotes, because it's like, is that rhetoric or is that, like, is there a tangible difference?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just because Mike McCarthy says he's changed, does that mean that he's actually changed? And obviously there's been, you know, plenty of features and stuff like that that have shown some suggested signs of Mike McCarthy being different. But, you know, once he actually takes the field as the coach, then maybe we will actually see a different coach, right? I mean, we won't know for sure until that point. So it's a fair question to ask. What does it mean? I would just say that my point earlier about how it's the best available job of the five head coaching gigs, that's a reflection of my belief that the Cowboys roster is as good as we talked about it for much of this year. They just got to do it consistently, because if they do, they could easily win 11 games next year.
Tepper family, I think, not that they're taking a gamble with Matt Rhule, who I thought was pretty good today, this press conference, a lot of rah-rah stuff, but that's okay. He seemed a little starstruck at times talking about athletes that he's going to be coaching. But overall, loved his enthusiasm. But how do you think he's going to be as a player personnel guy? I mean, I know we probably won't know for a couple of years, but that's the biggest thing that separated him there, getting that job as the Giants center, and we're not giving you that kind of power, so... What do you think of him today and him being in charge of player personnel at Carolina?
You know, my guess, Pete, is that he's going to be the kind of coach that, you know, the old Bill Parcells, you know, if they're going to let you cook the meal, they might want to let you shop for the groceries.
Yeah.
That line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that Matt Rhule isn't going to shop for the groceries. He sure will. But we're just talking about power dynamics. He seems like, hey, whoever they give me, I'm going to do my best to coach them up to my best ability. And, the Panther, you know, I do think that, like, maximization of talent is different at the college level than at the pro level. I do think that maximizing talent at the college level can go further than it can at the pro level, because ultimately, like, you're still, like, 18 or 19-year-old kids. Like, they grow and improve so much. And when we're assigning star level to these recruits, like, they're 16 years old. Like, who knows how they're going to actually evolve physically over the 2 to 3 years ahead. Whereas at the pro level, you kind of have what you have, right? Like, if you're an undermanned team, you're an undermanned team, and that's not going to necessarily change a whole ton. But I do think it's an interesting hire. I agree with you. The energy was really good from Matt Rhule, and certainly a guy that has a lot of fans already in Carolina. And I think it's the most interesting head coaching job because David Tepper, their owner, is such a wild card. I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that we don't have any sort of baseline of how he is going to act as an owner, other than the fact that we know he's got deep pockets and he's committed to winning.
We also, as a wild card, don't know who their quarterback is going to be. None of us know if Cam Newton is going to be healthy again. Does this change? Does his hiring, Matt Rhule, change their philosophy? Does it make it more or less likely that Cam Newton is a Panther next year? How would that look? And don't forget, he's got the most intriguing weapon in the entire NFL and Christian McCaffrey as well to use.
Yeah, I don't know what it means for Cam. I don't know that I necessarily took the hire to mean one way or the other is going to be a Cam advocate or perhaps someone that feels like it's time to move on from Cam. My personal opinion would be that the most logical approach for the team right now is that Cam Newton at $19 million next year, even if imperfect, is a substantial asset. Right? I mean, if the worst-case scenario is that you find a trade partner, well, you're probably going to get something pretty worthwhile because some team is going to look at its quarterback options and say, Cam Newton for 1 year at $19 million with the chance to potentially eventually extend him is a lot better than where most people are with their quarterback situation right now. So I don't know that we have a great read as to whether Matt Rhule will keep Cam, try to trade him, move off of him, but one thing is clear, if it's not Cam, they better go hunting for a quarterback this offseason, unless Will Greer is going to make that.
You there, Phil? Oh, there you
go. I think his phone just dropped.
See if we can get him
back. I think we're kind of winded down anyway. But,
I got a couple more.
You got a couple more?
Yeah,
I got a couple more. Let's see if he's still there. Right, we're re-efforting. That's Field Yates with ESPN. He's been filling in a lot with Sarah as we go home. Been listening to him quite a bit lately the past couple of nights. So, and he's been able to talk about all these things that have been going on with coaching changes and all that around the NFL. So certainly a lot of insight and a lot of thought put into it over the past couple of days. Field Yates from ESPN. Let's see if we can get him right back for another quick moment or two. Yeah, interesting situation with Carolina. We did hear the interview with Matt Rhule, just the press conference.
It's good. A lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm.
Yep. And I think we've got Field back. All right, Field, I think we got you back for just a couple more questions. Thanks.
Yeah, Field, obviously going to ask you about Tom Brady. We saw the Instagram post. Everybody read it today. I think most people believe that there's no way he's going to retire. It's just a question of Will he re-sign with the Patriots, or will he end up somewhere with the Chargers and the Raiders, or the two teams that have been mentioned? And I say, when it's all said and done, feeling how you feel about it, I think he's going to end up signing back with the Patriots, because even though there's some interesting weapons on some of those other teams, I just don't see him starting over, which he will be 43 at some point next year, in a whole new system. If he's gonna keep playing, I still think he's probably going to end up with the New England. How do you feel about it?
That'd be my guess as well, Pete. Obviously, no information here. None of us have any information, because Tom Brady himself doesn't know what he's going to do next year. But that would be my guess right now, is that Tom Brady winds up back with New England. Remember, when they did the re-triggered contract in August, the line at the end of it was, hey, every year it's going to be year-to-year with Brady and the Patriots going forward. So I think we're going to be in that holding pattern until Tom Brady decides to retire. And, you know, I think while he stated his goal of 45, you know, I think he's probably on a 1 to 3 year plan. I think it probably ends up being year to year again with the Patriots. One more year, and then we'll be having this conversation again around January or February of 2021.
Speaking of quarterbacks, final question from me. I'm hearing and reading a lot of chatter in Detroit about this future of Matthew Stafford and the Lions sitting there with that number 3 pick and Tua and all this. I think it's just media jaw-flapping at this point. I don't know that anybody serious is saying anything, but what's your opinion about that situation, Detroit, especially with that high draft pick?
Yeah, I think it's probably just because we're 10 days removed from the end of their season with 4 months left until the draft, 3.5 months left until the draft, that I suspect it's going to be a much-discussed dynamic. All I would say is that if Tua checks out medically, you've got 3 players that are different from the rest of this draft class. And that would actually be a leverage piece for the Lions. This is my January 8th answer.
Yeah.
But it's hard to envision a coach and a GM that need to win, as the owner has said, in order to retain their jobs for another year, being really motivated to draft a quarterback of the future in Tua Tagovailoa. Because if you're drafting him for 2020, he's not playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. All right, Field, as always, thank you so much. Are you filling in with Sarah anytime soon?
Yeah,
again?
Great.
We've been hearing you the past couple of nights.
Yep, guys sound great together.
I think I'm off the hook for a little bit, but you never know.
All right, sounds good, Field. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Field.
It.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, that is Field Yates from ESPN, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Go to their website, betterplantoday.com, and get a free consultation. Coming up, a couple of things. First of all, don't forget, Monday night we'll crown a champion in college football, LSU against Clemson. That starts at 6:30 on 99.3 ESPN, brought to you by Sideline Sports Bar and Grill in Fort Myers. I know Pete has some Ed Ogeron info that we'll enjoy.
Anecdotes.
And we also have a new O.J. Simpson, so we'll take care of all that. And the Mike McCarthy's press conference, I should quit calling it that. I should say this is the Jerry Jones Mike McCarthy press conference at 4 o'clock. We'll see how that unfolds. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. It is Elvis Presley's 85th birthday.
My second favorite Elvis song of all time. My favorite one
Let me guess for you. I'm going to guess you're a Suspicious Minds kind of guy.
Last hit. I just like the beat. I just like that, you know, it's just a great song.
Yeah. Good times.
He was 800 pounds then, but.
Still move.
Yeah.
The moves Forrest taught him.
Well, they said you can't keep Joe Philbin down that long.
Wrong.
You can't. He's back. Joe Philbin is back. Mike McCarthy's going to hire him as his offensive line coach, as Mark Colombo will not return. And how about this real quick?
How about you change anything with that offensive line? No, it wasn't great this year, but it was good.
A lot of the offense has been good.
Good enough.
Some games, I don't know how good it is because they didn't run the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. So I never got a chance to block for him. How about this? Finney tweeted out about 20 minutes ago, right before Field came on, that according to Out of Bounds, who hosts some podcasts anyway.
What, somebody steal the name of my former show? It's called Out of Bounds?
You had a show called Out of Bounds?
That's what me and James
out
Washington
bounds,
show is
yeah.
called, Out of Bounds.
Really?
Out of Bounds,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Stole it.
But AD John Cohen of Mississippi State went to Key West this week. You know who's there to interview
Mike Leach
about the Mississippi State job.
Oh!
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh.
Wouldn't that be something?
Leach and Kiffin in the same state.
Your coaches in the SEC West would be Nick Saban, Ed Orgeron, Jimbo Fisher, Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach.
Yep.
Malzahn,
yep.
And I'm forgetting one.
Hasn't that been our dream of this show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah. Arkansas. Whoever the hell is that Arkansas?
The other guy just got fired. Yeah.
Chad got fired.
Yeah.
Who did Arkansas hire? Who cares?
They hire
it's Arkansas.
That's a Wikipedia question.
You're at the bottom.
That's not right.
All right. Do we have another new Orenthal James Simpson to squeeze
Yeah, we do.
Okay. He's at the golf course?
He's at the golf course. And
black knit hat, or is it warming up out there in the desert?
No, he's got a...
Oh, it's supposed to be hotter than hell by the end of the week here. Like 87.
I know. Wow. I know. Warm.
Heat wave.
Warm.
We went for this cold, crisp air.
I don't mind the warm as long as the humidity's down.
Well, it won't be.
It's going to be typical. All right. So OJ. Golf.
Yeah, OJ, here it is. And the headline says, I was there when it started. Here he is.
What's he talking about? Right.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. You know, when I was trying to evaluate these games this weekend, something jumped out at me. And that's the fact that of these eight quarterbacks that start this weekend, four of them are black. And that brought me back to my rookie year in the NFL. We were playing the New York Jets. They were the defending Super Bowl champions. And we started three rookies in the backfield. Bill Earthquake Inyo from Oregon at fullback, me at halfback, quarterback, the eighth round draft choice from a little school in Louisiana called Grambling, and his name was James Shaq Harris, and he had the distinction that day of being the first black quarterback to start the season at quarterback for the NFL. What's interesting is we had a receiver named Marlon Briscoe. And Marlon, the previous year, had played for Denver, and late in the year they had quarterback problems, and he started, and he was the first black to ever start any game in the NFL. I'll tell you what, in 50 years, look where we've come. I'm pretty sure you got Wilson and Jackson, and I'm pretty sure that Mr. Holmes in Kansas City is saying to Mr. Watson in Houston, it's elementary, my dear Watson. The four best quarterbacks in the NFL are all black. I'm just saying.
Can I point out something here? That's the first quote-unquote black quarterback discussion I've heard in 5 to 10 years. It's not even a topic anymore.
I didn't even realize.
He was in jail for a long time, maybe he doesn't know that we've evolved and moved on.
That kind of stuff, like, I don't even think about it.
I don't even think about it.
I just don't.
Now, it's still an issue with coaching. There are no black
I was going to ask, we got to stay on time with the press guy, but I was going to ask Field about the Rooney. But the Rooney rule, and I'll tell you, Marvin Lewis is getting some heat because he's like, he came out and said,
no problem.
I can't force owners to hire me because of the color of my skin.
Well, you've got two African-American coaches who have been in the interview process for a couple teams.
Yeah,
Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for Kansas City,
repeatedly.
He should have a job.
Yeah.
He really should. I mean, if Matt Nagy could get a job that quickly with
if Joe Philbin could get back in the job, Chan Gailey, I mean, come on.
Like, Eric Bieniemy deserves to have a job. Chris Richard, I think he's still a little young. He's in his 30s. I would hope he would become an NFL head coach one day as well.
I don't want to cut this conversation short because it's a good one, but I do want to stay on time. Yeah. We got Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones coming up in about 4 or 5 minutes. I want to make sure we hit it.
By the way, Sam Pittman was the coach hired for Arkansas, the assistant head coach, associate head coach, and O-line coach at Georgia.
And listen for the word of the hour, the Sheeman & Shepherd cash grab brought to you by Duncan's Diamonds. Visit their three local locations at DuncanDiamonds.com. That's coming up next. Sheeman & Shepherd, your chance to win $1,000. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.